You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Saturday, and we're going to be racing on Saturday Ascot, Haydock, Thurse, Kempton, Stratford and Wolverhampton here in the UK. We'll try and get in some of the Irish racing where we can as well, but it is obviously a very busy day, including Group 1 action at Haydock in the Spring Cup. We'll talk about that later on here on the podcast with myself, John Gibby. I'm joined in the studio by owner Tom Morley. Hello, Tom.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Good to have you with us on the podcast once again. And it's going to be a bit of a game of two halves, if you like, the podcast today, because we're going to be talking about group quality racing in the second half of the podcast in the form of the Sprint Cup and the September Stakes. But first up, you have gone with what you were saying just before we started recording, with your a winner is a winner mindset, and picked out two selections at Wolverhampton in the evening.
Well, I think the other thing to bear in mind, obviously, is we've got a bit of changeable weather, haven't we? So, you know, when I was looking through the cards yesterday, that could have caused quite an issue. You know, Haydock certainly has had some rain, and where the rain is going to hit on Saturday could be a bit iffy as well. So that, if you like, did push me a little bit towards the all-weather tracks anyway.
So your first selection runs in the 6:15. We've got a class 5 claimer over 7 furlongs. What do you like here?
Yeah, here my selection is going to be René Mattis. I mean, clearly this horse is nowhere near the standard that he once was. I mean, he was rated well in excess of 100. And in fact, was still rated 100, well, just under a year ago. This season, you've got confirmation, I think, that his powers are waning a little. Spent most of his time running around Chester in competitive handicaps, and he certainly does need to bounce back from finishing last there just over a month ago. But this is a drop in grade, and, well, if we look what happened when he was dropped to claiming company last time in June, which was, as usual, at Chester, you know, René Mattis had a simple tactic, make all, which he did to good effect. He was allowed to dictate, ran on gamely for pressure, and today, drawn one. So I would have thought Connections will try and adopt similar tactics from the inside berth, go for an all-the-way success. He's only run 5 times on the all-weather in his career, winning a couple, but that was many moons ago. Did run here in March 2017. That was a good 5th, though, because that was listed company. It's obviously quite a different kettle of fish to this. I can't see why this track should pose any issues for him. So it would be René Mattis. And if we then have a glance down the rivals, we've got the Enigma Toofy. One from 34, underachiever.
But thinking you mentioned René Mattis as a horse who's running better races than this in the past, and you've got a few who are a bit like this in the field, and Toofy would be one of them.
Toofy definitely is one of them. I mean, he's been an underachiever, I think, all his life. He's on the downgrade. He's got to give our selection a considerable amount of weight. He's drawn wide. Yeah, he has ability, but the past suggests, you know, you'd almost struggle to win a walkover. One day he probably will fall into a race, but I think we can afford to miss that day when it does happen. Tuscany's got form on the all-weather. You look back a year and perhaps he could be fancied, but this season he's been disappointing. First time cheap pieces, and again has to give our selection plenty of weight. Huntsman's close. This is the Toofy camp. Tumbled in the handicap, and, you know, he's been horrid displays for this yard, in all honesty. Tiger Wolf won here over shorter in April in a handicap, but can cope with this distance. Been very consistent all season, but just looks fully exposed. Been creeping up the weights without winning. Has a horrid draw on 11. I think if he can overcome that, he'd probably be one of the main rivals to our selection. King of Naples, now this is an interesting candidate. I mean, he's best in at the weights officially, but since being purchased in July 2017, he ran once in Greece, finished last. No real surprise given that he's not a 5 furlong horse. He then now has first run for these connections after being purchased for $10,000 this July. But, you know, it's got to be a bit of a worry. He's put straight into this grade. His well-being's got to be under question, I think, at present. He's also drawn very wide, so I'm passing on that one. Vibes wears first time blinkers, only run this year was in a cellar at Lingfield the other day, and that was, it was a shocking run really. And the rest face a struggle at the weights. You know, Rags and Richards show nothing on her only start. Yogi 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 won a low-class handicap, but on ratings has no chance. And Pesky Wabbit, Mossy's Lodge and Raven's Raft, I think they've just all got a lot to prove.
Yeah, all rated. Well, certainly you look at Mossy's Lodge, 47, Raven's Raft, 49. They are down there at the bottom of the weights. But obviously with this being a claimer, they're, you know, receiving minimal weight really for the likes of King of Naples, who's rated 86.
Exactly. So, you know, they, I mean, they don't run that well generally anyway, but they've really got to outdo themselves here. So Rene Mathis for me for that race.
Rene Mathis in the 6:15. So Tom, your other selection runs in the 8:45.
Yeah, my selection in the 8:45, a mile and a half, 0-60 handicap. It's the 5-horse Safahi. This gelding, lightly raced individual, showed little last season when still a colt. We didn't see him until July, 5th of 7 that day, very keen, held up, didn't get home. But he went to Windsor just under a month ago, again over a similar distance to this, sent off favourite, better, clearly anticipated, was held up, closed gradually throughout the race, had every chance, keeping on well, just unable to reel in the long-time leader that day. Now, the winner has been beaten since, at this track in fact, but I think he was a bit unlucky, and he got caught behind a couple of his rivals, just got out once it was too late. So I don't think the form, if you like, has been knocked at all. So far, he has been put up £5 for that improved performance, and here he is up against older horses as well. So he gets the 3-year-old allowance against most of them. The horse is clearly going the right way, was obviously fancied last time, has a draw that's no issue. He's one of the few in this race who looks as if he has his better days ahead of him. Because of the rivals, Bridge of Size, starting with a new yard, been in terrible form. Invincible Wish returned after a long break, beaten nothing. Calvinist starts with a new yard, again, another one woefully out of form. Sevilla was in good heart here in April, but since then, it's gone wrong. Form-wise, not the horse. Probably very happy horse. Dame Nelly was in reasonable form in the first half of the summer, notched a victory at Lingfield in a similar grade to this, but when we saw her at the start of August, she just didn't look particularly happy with anything. Mrs. Burbridge ran okay the other day at Kempton, but having been held up, never really challenged, definitely needs more. You can see the victory in August, but that was in Jersey. You know, in the... that form doesn't often translate to mainland. Spinning Pearl comes over from Ireland. Snippets of form this season. I think that does deserve a little market watched, which could help assess her chances. And that's an interesting rival. Ember's Glow's been in no form, again, starting for a new yard. Hell of a Lady, just been in poor form. Chica de Silva's Unexposed ran well on handicap debut last time, but that was over much shorter. Steps up in trip considerably here. Suspect from her draw she will go forward. I mean, the stables runners usually do. But that one does have to prove her stamina. And Foxy Locks, well, that's shown nothing so far. So with you've got your Unexposed, hopefully progressive gelding here, Safahi up against, to be honest, not a lot in my opinion. So Safahi.
Safahi for Alan King and Martin Harley in that 8:45 at Wolverhampton. So that's Wolverhampton out the way.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to say things out the way, but, you know, it's covered. We'll move now to look at the group racing we've got throughout the day. We'll start off with what is, well, I was going to say slightly bizarrely, depending on the way you want to look at it, maybe not bizarrely at all. The first race at Kempton, the September Stakes, the Group 3. Big call, Tom, but this is probably the best Group 3 I can remember seeing, with Enable and Crystal Ocean taking each other on. Enable, of course, belated seasonal return for John Gosden's ARC winner, and Crystal Ocean, who has beaten just a neck in the King George last time. I almost said Crystal Ocean the Group 1 winner, which of course he isn't, but it feels a bit like he is because he's gone so close on a number of different occasions. The betting at time of recording, we've got Enable at 4-7, 7-4 for Crystal Ocean, and it's 10-1 bar in a 5-runner race, so it really does seem to be between these two.
Absolutely, and I'm sure no one particularly expected that we would have such a match at Kempton on a first race on a random Saturday, but here we are. Enable obviously is class, but we haven't seen Enable, have we, since the ARC? So you've got fitness, well-being to take somewhat on trust. One would logically assume that this is not the highlight of its year, you know. So whatever Enable will be doing, one would anticipate that she is being geared up to bigger fish to fry. And then you've got, though it should be, of course, noted, Enable has won its maiden, wasn't it, at Newcastle. So at least it does have a little bit of all-weather form, albeit different tracks. And then you've got Crystal Ocean, who's got to give weight, but has won two Group 3s and a Group 2 this year. As you say, you know, easy to assume Group 1, really. Second in the King George, and clearly in great heart, and has got the fitness edge, been running. So it's an interesting little conundrum, isn't it, really, whether you've got the one coming back after the long absence, almost certainly looking to build for the future, and the other one who's race fit, raring to go in great heart. And, you know, if there's a time when Enable could be a little bit vulnerable, you'd think this might be it. Outside those two, it's really hard to see, you know, any of the other three getting involved. Weekend, obviously, for John Gosden as well.
No, to be fair, it was second in Enable last time out.
It was. I mean, I don't know if it's going to have a specific role to help, you know, the race be truly run or anything like that. And Weekend certainly is the logical one probably to finish third. But it's, you can't get away from the front two. It's not a race I'd be desperately keen to have a bet in. I probably would think to myself, I'd go with the one that's been running, Crystal Ocean, on this occasion. But neither result would surprise me. That's the truth.
So Crystal Ocean the way Tom Morley is vaguely,
delicately leaning.
Yeah, exactly. But really, one for the purist, I think, Enable taking on Crystal Ocean, except for the fact it's on the all weather. But you know, we'll forget about that. I don't mind the all weather.
I love the all weather.
Yeah. Well, we know you like the all weather, Tom, for reasons that, funnily enough, bring us seamlessly onto our next race we're going to talk about, which is the Sprint Cup, the Group 1 at Haydock, coming up at 4:15. And I feel a bit sorry for the Sprint Cup. It rains, seems to, every year.
Every year.
It never really gets as good a lineup as a lot of the other Sprint Group 1s. And this year, it's been completely overshadowed by the September Stakes of all races. So I do feel a bit sorry for it. Harry Angel at 11-10, currently the favourite right here at William Hill at time recording. 7-1 the Tin Man. So Dancelot 8-1, 9-1 James Garfield. Tanzanite is 10-1, 12-1 Brando, 16-1 Bar. Tom Morley, what are your thoughts on this year's Haydock Sprint Cup?
Yeah, it's the weather is clearly going to have a say. It's looking as if there'll be plenty of juice in the ground, I think it's fair to say. May well be some more rain to come before, you know, in between our recording and the race itself, which has got to have an impact, hasn't it? We all know that Haydock is prone to some interesting going at the best of times, and this rain is not going to help. Harry Angel. Now, of course, last year it was heavy, and Harry Angel did win very easily. But they were talking, weren't they, before the race about its participation wasn't certain.
They were very strongly considering pulling him out.
Yeah.
Very strongly.
Which is interesting. I mean, he won very easily, and one would anticipate that there's no reason why he can't do the same on the ground that will be thrown up to him this year.
Yeah.
Equally as important, you know, it's interesting purely because they were considering taking him out, and I don't know whether he surprised them so much that he went that well on it. I think one key fact for this horse, obviously, is it's not Ascot, and when this horse runs at anywhere bar Ascot, he wins.
Literally. He is undefeated away from Ascot.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very hard to get away from him. He seems the most logical winner, and clearly the rest are going to have to go some way to improve. You know, you've got horses like Brando. I mean, Brando always used to handle cut, but actually hasn't raced on it a huge amount of times that recently. Was second in the July Cup. Didn't run that well in France last time, did it, Brando? But, you know, could run a race. So Dancelot, for me, drops back in trip here. I think that's possibly got a little bit to prove for me. The Tin Man, I would think there's horses that are better. James Garfield, again, in my head, I just can't have him. I'd be looking, if I was looking at an each way alternative, which I think a lot of people will be in this race, I'd be going towards something like Tazleet or Ektidar. And interestingly, Jim Crowley's picked Ektidar, hasn't he, out of the two. I mean, Tazleet, second last year, loves a flat track, but again, you've got a slight problem in the fact he's only run once this year. You know, been off for a few months,
May as well.
So although conditions should be absolutely fine, that's got to raise a slight question mark. And Jim Crowley's picked Ektidar as his choice. But they, those two would interest me as an each way alternative, both of those. Tazli, because I guess he's done it at this sort of level, and Ekdadar because he's on the rise.
And not a bad each way betting race either, given Hubland the favourite 7-1 the field and there's 12 runners. So
absolutely. So I think that that's probably what I'd be looking for. I think Harry Angel the most likely winner, but yeah, I'd be hunting out some each way value around Tazli and Ekdadar myself.
That is the Haydock Sprint Cup. Gets underway at 4:15 on Saturday. It's live on Racing Radio along with the rest of the day's racing. You could please join the guys on the app or on the William Hill website. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Tom, thanks for being with us today. Yeah.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.